It is strenuous on purpose, and that is a frustrating thing for everybody. But it is, you know, they are not our Google Trust and Safety team. They are really good folks. They are not out to get anybody. We take user data and privacy and security quite seriously. As you two are well aware of. I think probably our audience is well aware of as well. So there are a lot of things that need to be confirmed. They can't just take folks' word for it. And that can lead to a lot of back and forth with the team.
Hi, everyone. I'm Steve Basil from the Workspace Developer Relations team, and I'm joined here with Dave Abouav and Drew Romeo. Yesterday, we just had our Workspace Developer Summit here in Sunnyvale, and both of you did talks. Dave, I just want to start with you. Can you give a little bit about what you talked about?
Those
who couldn't attend?
We talked about how to prepare your add-on or app for the specifically add-ons and written in AppScript and alternative runtimes for the upcoming change with granular OAuth permissions. Right? Up until now, when you approve your app, it's all or nothing for AppScript powered editor add-ons and AppScript powered workspace add-ons and HTTP alternative runtime add-ons. Now you're going to be able to have users select which permissions and scopes they want to use, and we want to make sure app developers are prepared for that change.
Okay, and yeah, I know we've been working towards more granular permissions for quite a while, for web apps and Android apps and so on. So what do developers need to know, really?
At the end of the day, we want to give users more transparency and control, but on the developer side, you have to be prepared for the fact that users may come into your add-on. And whereas up until now, they could, if they granted permissions on the OAuth screen, they would be able to use all features of your add-on. Maybe, for example, your add-on does something in Gmail and Google Calendar, right? It would just work. But now a user could come in and say, well, I want the add-on to work for Gmail, but not for Calendar, because I don't want having access to my calendar. And in that case, if you're not handling that situation, checking for those permissions, your add-on could fail in an unexpected way.
Failing in an unexpected way sounds scary.
Yeah.
Is it a lot of work for developers to sort of, adapt to this or, at least sort of get back to how they were before?
Absolutely not. We talked about in the talk kind of three ways you could do this. The first is the do-nothing method, which I don't think we want to approach. But the main two methods are you can, of course, check what permissions the user has, and then you have two choices. Do you want to allow them to use your app in a partial state or not? If not, you can simply check if there are any missing scopes at all, and if so, just direct the user back to reauthenticate, either automatically through some mechanisms built into the AppScript runtime or using some methods we've built into AppScript objects, native objects, that you can just get a link and the user can click the link after you show them a message, and they can go approve that.
And is there a deadline for when developers actually have to make these changes?
Yes, there are deadlines. The changes start rolling out for AppScript-powered editor add-ons the second week of December, so that's like December 8th.
Pretty soon.
Yeah, pretty soon. And then for HTTP or alternative runtime workspace add-ons December 1st. All other services like web apps and AppScript-powered workspace add-ons are coming in January. So this is all coming around the corner pretty quickly.
So I know you developed a editor add-on, or it was an editor add-on.
Yeah.
Yeah. A long time ago was Flubaroo.
That's right.
And it's still going strong, sounds like. were you actually impacted by these changes for your add-on, and did you have to do any work to get
absolutely, to okay. absolutely, yeah. Flubaroo uses a number of permissions. It's been in the marketplace for like over a decade. So, long before we, there was the whole review process. So, I had to actually do several changes over the years, like peeling back using the full drive scope, the partial drive scope. But even now, it still uses email, triggers, spreadsheet data, of course. Mm-hmm. And so, in order to be and showing users interactive modals and things like that. So, what I've done for now is the first approach, which I talked about, which is just check that the user has granted all permissions, and if not, when they take an action, like to create an assignment or some kind of entry action, send them back to a modal that just says, hey, for Flubaroo or my app to work, you need to please go back and authorize all permissions. Here's a link, click it, and then they'll be presented with the OAuth screen again. What I plan to do long-term and what a lot of app developers will probably do is handle things more granularly. Yeah. Perhaps there's a capability in there that you can work, the app can work without it. In my case, for example, I could still, if, as long as the teacher approves the spreadsheet scopes, they could still grade the assignment, but maybe they don't want FluBrew having access to their email to send out the grades to students. That's fine. I could handle that more gracefully. And if the user tries to send the emails, I could show a message saying, hey, you didn't approve this scope previously. If you'd like to approve it now, click the link below. Otherwise, we can't email grades on your behalf.
Yeah, it sounds like that's a better user experience.
Yeah.
But obviously, with a little bit harder on the developer side to make that change to do it on a per functionality
right.
basis.
Yeah. And that's what we said yesterday in the talk, is you can actually do both phases. You can do phase one first, which is just make sure all the scopes you need are present, and if not, ask to use a tree authenticate fully. Mm-hmm. But later down the road, when you have more time, handle things more granularly and functionally, right? Maybe there's a feature of your app that you can actually operate without. For example, if your app does something in Gmail and Calendar, maybe it's possible to do the Gmail portion only and have the user not use the calendar part and just let them know, and that's fine too.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. So, Joe, your talk was actually in a somewhat adjacent area. So to talk about OAuth and scopes and everything.
Very much so.
Navigating the whole process of trust and safety and getting your apps approved for Marketplace and everything. So, why'd you do the talk, and what were you hoping to get out to help developers with?
Yeah, it's real timely stuff. It was fun coming on after Dave and the granular consent is really a wonderful user facing feature that I think folks are going to get used to, and there's not too much developer change involved to get there. And so I took the wider view of things, and charted the using some examples from the partner ecosystem, as I work with a lot of our really great strategic partners for Google Cloud. I took examples that I've accumulated working with them over the last few years, and tried to share that with a wider audience of things that they need to know going through the entire process, where folks can typically get stuck and hung up on.
Yeah, the process is challenging sometimes. Did you have any, I don't want to say silver bullets, but top tips or top tricks, or just how to make that process as easy as possible?
Yeah, it is. It is strenuous on purpose, and that is a frustrating thing for everybody. But it is, they are not our Google Trust and Safety team. They are really good folks. They are not out to get anybody.
Yeah,
we take user data and privacy and security quite seriously. Mm-hmm. You two are well aware of. I think probably our audience is well aware of as well. So there are a lot of things that need to be confirmed. They can't just take folks' word for it. And that can lead to a lot of back and forth with the team. I have my single biggest tip it's a tip that I ended the presentation with, is to attempt to assume positive intent whenever possible. You are only, when you submit an application for review, you are going to get an email thread automatically generated with the owners of the project, the editors of the project, you'll get the support email address as well. That is your only way to communicate with the trust and safety folks. It's just back and forth on that single email thread. So if you don't understand what they're asking for, it's okay to ask for clarification. If you are having a hard time communicating something to that team, it's okay to try and phrase that. In fact, I encourage you to try and phrase it a different way. There are going to be those kinds of miscommunications, but I think it's important to not jump to antagonistic, and you're going to get through the process a whole lot faster.
And yeah. Joe, I think you mentioned yesterday a really good point, is that a lot of these folks in trust and safety, they may be concurrently reviewing dozens, maybe even hundreds of apps.
Right? Absolutely.
Not just for Workspace, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the scope of the talk yesterday was mainly focused around Google Workspace integrations that were going to get published in the Google Workspace Marketplace. But if your application touches these APIs anywhere across Workspace, Gmail, Calendar, Drive, and it's an Android app or iOS or a web app, something, it's a feature in your SaaS platform, you have to go through this process. So yeah, it reaches quite a lot of folks, and if you're not used to working, if you haven't gone through the process before with the Google Workspace trust and safety team, I think you don't really know what to expect.
Yeah, and they're doing their best considering all they have to go on, so you have to be patient.
Absolutely.
I actually had a partner I was working with recently, and they were going back and forth, and they felt like the trust and safety team wasn't understanding their use case, and so we worked together to craft a table. Like, let's lay it out really clearly. What would happen if you did have the scope? What would happen if you didn't have the scope? And once we made it clear in a really easy-to-consume manner, immediately things started moving forward.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great point. I'm a huge fan of sharing screenshots, screen recordings, draw some mock-ups, something visual, because you're going to get different reviewers every time. There's no guarantee you're going to get the same folks. There's no guarantee you're going to get the same reviewer even through your single app review process. So you're going to get different communication styles, and I think the visual component can really make a difference.
I think you made a just spot on point, just not to assume bad intent. And I will be honest, when the process first started, it was a little crunchy. We had a little bit of antagonism back and forth and a little distrust, but definitely over the last couple of years, as we've gotten to know that team and know the people on it, they actually really are good people. They are trying to put users' data first and really try to do the right thing without being too much of an obstacle to developers also trying to deliver the value that they're trying to deliver.
I agree.
So yeah, it's definitely still rough edges in the process, but it's things we could work on, but definitely, absolutely assume good intent, because they really are trying to do the right thing. So the other side of your talk, besides trust and safety, was the marketplace side.
Yes.
Is there anything? I think it's a little bit of an easier process right now, but is there anything that you think developers should take away in terms of just making that process as smooth and as possible?
I really like the Google Workspace Marketplace. So my background is I've been consulting in the ecosystem. I had some fun stints as administrator for enterprise customers at Google Workspace. So I've always appreciated the Workspace Marketplace as the place where you can find applications, but also install and deploy them for a user base. And the kind of explosion that we've seen in AI-powered applications over, I think, especially good ones, over the last 6 months or year or so has been a lot of fun to see. I think it's bringing a lot of people to publish marketplace applications that have not necessarily worked with any of our APIs before. So there are a lot of great guides. I don't know if we can put something here. There are a lot of great guides available on that we publish for what this process looks like, and visual guides too. I think YouTube videos and walkthroughs. I think for folks who are coming to it new, the marketplace process is not, you're right, it is not as bad, especially if you're not using restricted scope, something really highly sensitive. I think come prepared, ready to talk about what makes your app special, because they're not going to, anyone in the review process, they're not going to know who you are. Have some fun stories to be prepared to talk about why your app is cool, what it's doing with Google Workspace data, why the whole ecosystem benefits from, your participation in it. I think that kind of rising tide really does make a difference. Yeah.
And you had a good point, Joe, too, in the talk about have your ducks in a row ahead of time. So, for example, make sure your terms of service are compliant and linked. Make sure privacy policy as well. Even when it asks for your homepage, make sure that homepage, this is for OAuth and the marketplace both, leads to not just the homepage of your company, but the homepage for your app specifically.
That's a really fun one. Honestly, the majority, I think, of the tips that I shared are just real easy miscommunications. Mm-hmm. When somebody hears homepage, the first place that my brain goes to, at least, is, oh, well, that's going to be my company homepage, my whatever.com. And that is not it. That's not really what they're asking for. Maybe you get lucky and that is, but when they ask for, hey, what's your homepage? It's a homepage for your application. It's what does your application do? And how it's got to be a public site so that folks who are visiting can take a look and see, this thing does some pretty cool stuff with Google Sheets. Yeah, I'm on board. If you just give them your website homepage, it's not going to do the trick. And then you get confused. Well, why did they reject me? That's actually my homepage. Those miscommunications, you see them a lot.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's frustrating. So that was a good chunk of the impetus, to get back to your first question. A good chunk of the impetus for me wanting to put this presentation together is because you just, when you've been helping partners get through this process for a few years, you start to see the real easy things that folks can fix if they knew that they were potentially problems. Yeah. So I wanted to hit as many of those as I could.
Yeah, no, sounds great. Both of you were at the summit all day, I think. Did you get to watch any other sessions, and was there anything that you saw that stood out? You said, "Oh, that's really interesting content," or surprising. Just like, what were the highlights for you other than your own talks?
There were other talks. No, I certainly enjoyed Joe's talk and a little cool thing he made, which we'll maybe showcase later. Yeah. I also enjoyed the talk that Mohammed gave on service accounts. I mean, as much as you can enjoy a talk on service accounts, but I think that's a really misunderstood area and not necessarily always clear to developers how to engage with service accounts to use our services and best practices in doing so. And I've seen a lot of people make unnecessary mistakes, unfortunately, that cost them development time later to fix.
Yeah, that is a topic that we've seen a lot of confusion. I think we have a video coming out specifically on that one.
Wonderful.
Coming out next month, I think. And some blog posts to follow up and so on, but my take is, Workspace really is for users. There are cases where you can use service accounts, but you kind of have to know what you're doing and know why you're doing it before you really get in there. But how about you? Did you see any talks?
I very much enjoyed yours on the granular.
I think patting each other on the back here.
We really are. Just going around in a circle. My favorite, I didn't get to see as many of the talks that I wanted to, especially. We had some really good technical talks in a separate room that I feel bad that I didn't get to see. There were some really cool AI demos that I got to talk with folks about afterwards, but I didn't get to see them as they were happening. I think my biggest takeaway from the event, it's just getting so many great developers in the same room together. I'm often, in my role, I'm working with some very specific enterprise partners for Google Cloud. I don't get to interact with the much wider community. And, it's great to see folks getting together because this is stuff that they care about.
Yes.
It's a positive difference to them. It's a positive difference to their customers, to their partners. This is... the ecosystem that's built up here around Google Workspace, it doesn't feel like a checkbox. People want to be here. They want to participate, and that enthusiasm is just contagious.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that for me, that's the best part is, I mean, the sessions are great. Both your sessions were fantastic, and I saw even some show and tell sessions at the end of just some of the attendees getting up impromptu and sharing some of their ideas and projects. And they were all fantastic and really just, inspiring to see what people were building. But at the end of the day, the real value for me is the conversations during lunch, during, the closing, just on the breaks, and being able to, catch up with people and meet a whole bunch of new people that I had didn't know anything about their company, but then they're like, "Hey, we're doing this thing," and it's like, "Wow, that's like actually really cool." So I just love to be able to have those conversations and hear the stories.
Yeah, agreed. I got to actually meet folks behind some integrations that have been going strong for over a decade. I never knew the people behind them or the people supporting them.
Yeah.
And that was a real treat for me to get to talk with them and understand, what's working for them, what's not working for them, and how we can better support them.
Oh, absolutely. David, you mentioned a fun little thing. And I do have it here. This is I don't know if we'll be able to get it on camera, but this is a children's book with Joe here. Can you how did this come about? Right, because I think this is super cute, super clever.
Thank you.
What's the story here?
This was a very silly thing that I had a lot of fun putting together. One of the benefits, I think, of being in an organization like Google, especially in a moment like we have right now, is that there are so many cool AI tools that are across the entire spectrum from, enterprise down to consumer. And one of the fun consumer tools that we released recently was Gemini Storyteller. Mm-hmm. And this is at its simplest, you just give Storyteller a little prompt about, you know, I've got a five-year-old daughter and I would like to talk to her about the train system in California. And it'll make a nice little story to teach them about it, and with pictures and everything. I took my presentation about navigating the Google Workspace Marketplace review process as the input, and it gave me Appy's Great Adventure, which is just the story of an app going through the entire review process with the same watch points that I talked about, with the homepage and brand verification and API OAuth scopes, but written very simply, and I think it turned out pretty adorable.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And so was it going from Gemini, like, hey, here's some, you know, a little digital storybook, to just the actual printed thing? Was that easy? Was like what did you have to do that?
Yeah, it was. I would love if there was a print now button at the end of the Gemini story. I would buy these for every family member until they got sick of them, because I think they're really wonderful. But I had to put it together. We've got some images and text in here that I pulled out of the Storyteller. I did use Nano Banana, which I think everybody is loving these days.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
To tweak some of the images so that I was recognizably me. In the book. Oh, well, thank you very much. And it was just Gemini Storyteller, Nano Banana for the images. And you can buy these board books from a whole bunch of different print places online. Yeah. Really, relatively inexpensive. Like it was a very fun one-off. I didn't expect you to get the reception.
I walked around and showed that book to a couple different vendors and who've been through our process, and they loved it. Everyone was lighting up over it. It kind of reminds me of a book you'd show your young son or daughter, like before you go to the dentist or the doctor for the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like what to know, what to expect, why not to, you shouldn't be scared. These are the things you're going to encounter. It's terrific.
Yeah, please. Yeah, there's no need to be scared of going through the app review process, right? We want to make sure that we provide all the information that they need to get through in a quick manner. I think that definitely plays into it, for sure. Good call.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you for doing that. I want to thank both of you for joining us today and for yesterday as well. Any last thoughts before we wrap up? Or
you definitely echoed the same thing that I came out of it. My biggest takeaway was just getting to meet the folks. Did you get to see any presentations?
I did.
Yeah.
I was in one of the tracks emceeing and helping people get in and out. So I got to see a few talks on a lot of AI. Justin from my team did one on vibe coding for Workspace and using different API tool or different AI tools, ranging from Gemini to Gemini CLI and Jules. Yeah. Different techniques for how to prompt them and provide the right context, especially for Workspace. He also has been working on some new tools to help that. So we have a MCP server.
I saw that's
that
great.
Helps give the LLMs access to up-to-date documentation, right? I mean, that's one of the things. When you have these models that are trained on the internet, like, that information gets stale. So being able to give it live data, live documentation helps a lot. And there are a couple of good gems in there with some funny jokes and everything that were fantastic. We had a talk from one of our GDEs, Alan Furstenberg. He did one about building agents and echoed a lot of the same similar things that Justin has discovered in working with these agents about doing a higher level abstractions around the APIs and sort of trying to simplify the complexity so that they're effective. A few others. Actually, gonna be chatting with our AppScript PM about some of the new things that are coming up there.
Great.
That was a great talk as well. And really, one of the highlights was the show and tell session.
I wish I could have seen that.
We had a handful of folks come up. 5-10 minute impromptu talks, and there were some. It was everything from really clever workarounds for having to do like dynamic content and emails, And it was one of our partners did that, and it was really clever. We're just like, wow, how did you do that? You know, I don't want to give too much about what their secret sauce was, but it was really clever. A couple startup ideas from university students.
Neat.
Lots of AI based solutions with Workspace and so on. Just fantastic to see people, and I truly appreciate it. Because it takes courage to go up there unprepared. Yes. And just do a talk on an idea that you don't know if people are going to like. But they were fantastic.
It's just another example of the community that's built up around Google Workspace and these platforms. It's a very wonderful, encouraging, smart, and talented group of folks.
Absolutely.
And I'm constantly impressed at the things that folks are coming up with.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't say it better.
There were a couple of big wins for me. I mean, I just seeing everyone connect, for one. Like, that's amazing, because you see people sitting next to each other who don't know one another, but they have similar problems, right? And they suddenly realize, oh, you have that problem too. Like, they change emails, and part of that developer community is it's formed by just those happenstance kind of meetings, which is great. And also just talking with a lot of these folks yesterday who've been developing in the Workspace ecosystem, starting with AppScript, as far back as 2010, 2011, when it first came out. I thought I was one of the few left who still had an app that was that old, but no, on the contrary. And talking with them about how it's changed over the years and how it keeps improving and the impact that it can have, right?
Yes.
For users and for the people they build those apps for it's really phenomenal, and just reminds me of how awesome that the power is of AppScript and of Workspace Marketplace, et cetera, in general.
Absolutely. I'm excited to hear the conversation that you have with our Google AppScript PM later, because I've heard that there's so much more interest in AppScript now that folks are able to vibe code with Gemini and get help getting into that where they wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, we've seen a big uptick, and we used to joke many years ago AppScript was like the best kept secret that we had, and it's not a secret anymore. So the usage is really starting to take off, and just the things people are building these days is kind of mind boggling. You're just like, wow, you did that in AppScript? Man, good for you. All right. Anyway, thank you very the both of you very much. Appreciate your time, and we'll see you around. And I know we're in the same office and never see each other unless we're traveling. But hopefully, one of these days we'll actually see each other in the office.
Yeah, I'll make more books. Well, we need a setup like this in Boulder. Well, I don't have that right now.
A line of people waiting for you to sign it and autograph. Right?
I should sign books for
exactly. Yes, we're gonna. Yeah, in Boulder, we're gonna have the book signing with Jenna.
Done. Promises made.
All right. Appreciate your time very much. Thank you very much. And take care, everyone.
Thanks.